Happy New Year, everybody. And, I hope that your year is exceptionally well. I like to tell people, I hope your year is full of unexpected blessings, because that's part of following God. We don't know what God has for us, do we? And the year ahead is kind of a mystery, but it's not a mystery to the Lord. And so we praise God for that. It sure went by fast, didn't it, the last year? I say that every year. It seems like every year goes faster and faster and faster. And I tell our youth and kids that, you know, as you're in school, when you're little, it goes very slow. Can't wait for Christmas to come around, right? Or summer to come around. It goes slow. You know, as you get older, as you know, it's real fast, especially when November hits. And then, boom, there we are. It's already New Year's. And it's strange how sometimes that time can seem slow, normal, and even fast, right? And yet time is consistent. It's chronological. It's scientific, if you will. It's set in place. It doesn't go faster or slower, yet we have that sense of time dragging or time going quickly. And I want to show us a video this morning. It's a YouTube video of a science project that was done and its results. And so watch this with me, and then we'll go from there.
Speed up time or slow down time, guess what? We're totally kidding. Kind of. Hey everyone, Lacey Green here, and this is DNews. Time is a fixed dimension. 1 second for me is 1 second for you. But even though 1 second is fixed, how we experience it and perceive it can vary hugely. And that's because our brains aren't just keeping track of time, watching it go by. Our brains are actively constructing time, creating time. I know. Whoa, dude, it's so crazy. That tidbit comes from David Eagleman, a neuroscientist and director of the Eagleman Laboratory for Time Perception. He says he became fascinated with time when, as a child, he fell off a roof, and he kept falling and falling and falling. And in those moments, it felt like time had completely slowed down. Mid-air, he thought to himself, this is what Alice must have felt like falling down the rabbit hole. There are a few things that we know about our mind's perception of time. Unlike our senses like touch and taste, time doesn't have a specific part in the brain that controls our perception of it. Time comes down to a whole complex network of areas within the brain. We also know that when we're in a life-threatening situation,
time seems to slow down.
And as we get older, neuroscientists have pieced together why this is so. The more information your brain has to process, the slower time seems. When you're in a life-threatening situation, all your brain's resources become intensely focused on survival. You're paying really close attention. The more attention to detail there is, the longer time seems to last, because all that new information takes longer for your brain to process. On the flip side, time goes faster when you don't have much information to process. If you're not taking in much that's new, your brain's on autopilot. Less resources required, and time feels faster. This explains why time seems to get faster as we get older. As you age, there isn't as much new information for your brain to take in, which creates shortcuts in your brain. Okay, cool. So, what about when time goes really slow when you're bored? A study in the Journal of Consumer Psychology found that without enough stimulation, the brain concentrates its resources on monitoring the time. You're like, come on, take talk. And because it consumes your brain, you perceive it as slower. On the flip side, a study published by the Association for Psychological Science found that people don't actually perceive time as shorter when they're having fun. But people did report more enjoyment when they were lied to and told a task they performed took half the time that it actually took. So what this all means is that we do have some control over our perception of time. We can make it seem faster by finding ways to distract ourselves from the passage of time, and we can slow it down when things seem too fast by giving our brains lots of new things to process, continuing to learn new things and chewing on new ideas and immersing yourself in new environments. So there you go, time vendors. Go do your thing. I'll see you next time with more DNews, and don't forget to like our Facebook page for more crazy science updates.
Kind of like a scientific affirmation of what we already know. Sometimes it goes slow, sometimes it goes fast, especially that part when you're in an emergency type situation. How many people do you know that when they're in automobile accidents, they say everything seemed to go so slow? Or someone might say, well, I could see my life passing by me, those types of things. It's interesting stuff. The young lady up here in the video, Lacey Green, made the point that we affect how we perceive time. And I think that's an interesting concept, that we affect how we perceive time. And it says, according to scientists, time will pass by more slowly if we're busy and consumed with new things in our thoughts. The new things that we have in our thoughts might be the things that we plan for ourselves. So we were talking about in Sunday school, resolutions. I want to change this. I want to exercise more. I'm going to eat better, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to do one on my bucket list, or whatever the case, that type of a thing. And that generates that interest that can make time go by faster because you're involving more into your life. And yet, God didn't create time for us to decide how to spend it or how quickly to spend it. That's kind of an invasion on our independent thinking, isn't it? God created time for a specific reason. He wants us to use the time that He's given us for His glory and for His purposes. And He expects us to make the most of the time He has given us. He wants us to redeem the time for Him. That's easy said, hard to do, and yet a viable and highly important principle that you and I need to apply to our lives. Because every day, as believers, we should be getting up saying, Lord, thank you for today. Help me to walk with you today. When we say walking with you today, we might generalize it by saying, well, I'm in fellowship with you today. But you might even pinpoint that a little bit more closely and say, hey, I'm not only desiring to walk with you, but I want to be so close to you that I'm aware of everything that you've planned out for me today. I wonder if you believe that God actually has our days planned out for us if we just seek Him to reveal that to us. I believe that's true. And so we have to make the decision to either hold on to our time for ourselves or hold on to it for God. And that's a constant battle in our spiritual walk with God because of our flesh that we contend with. I want us to look at Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There's a couple things in that passage right there. Walk circumspectly. You know, when you watch the Olympics and they're doing the Olympics on the bar, isn't that what it's called, the bar in the Olympics? The ladies are walking the bar, right? Is that what it's called?
Balance
beam. Okay, walking the bar might be something different. But anyways, they walk very circumspectly, don't they? In other words, they put their foot exactly where they need to put it, in the right balance that ought to be there, decisively. And that's how God calls us. He calls us to walk with Him with such precise attention to Him, walking step by step, almost like David had said, I want to know your heart, God. In essence, he's saying, I want to be so close to you that I hear your heartbeat pounding, that I actually know where your will is. And then it says in verse 16, redeeming the time. It's our responsibility that we take the initiative to take the time and make it all that it can be for God, because the days are evil. You know, if we're not redeeming the time for God, then we're more subject to evil. If we're not focused on God through the day, we're more subject to sin, right? And so, redeem the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise. I want to be wise. I know you want to be wise. But understand what the will of the Lord is. The only way we can know the will of God is by walking circumspectly, carefully, attuned to God, listening to God, seeking Him, and redeeming the time that He scheduled for us that day for His glory. And so, that's important. But that's all directives from the Holy Spirit, from God's Word, that compels our heart, that says, do I want to be that close to God? Do I desire to walk that closely with Him? But here's the value of it. When we do, we know that the time is being redeemed for God, and our lives are that much fuller and richer in God. Our walk with God is definitely an adventure as we follow Him. And I don't think it would slow down our time, our perspective of time. I think it would speed up. When we walk or live our lives carefully and intentionally, as the Lord leads us to do, then we are redeeming the time. Now get this last one. To redeem the time, we must rescue time from loss. There's a concept. We can lose time. The Greek definition actually refers to the word redeem as losing time, or taking that which was lost and getting it back, so to speak. You've been given time, redeem it, pull it back, don't lose it. How many people have we heard of that have lived their lives that have become right with God? Either that they were Christians that walked away from God, or that they lived their life without God and came to know God and said, I've wasted all that time and I regret that. And so we have to be careful that we can redeem the time for the use that God intends for us for His glory. And in this new year, that's something that we need to consider. Because I don't know about you, I want the best year that I can have in Christ. Right? I want everything God has for me this year. I want to be the best in Him I can be. I want to be as close to Him as I can be. I want to experience Him, His will, His purposes for me this year. Because that's where life is. Life is in following Christ. The fullness of life. I come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Isn't that what He told us? But oftentimes people are unable to press forward in their lives because they hold on to the guilt of the past. A lot of people are scarred by the past, and they hold on to the past. The scars stay there, and the scars may manifest themselves a little bit in our lives, but if we emotionally connect to that, to the past, and hold on to the past and say, I blew it so badly. I hate what I see. And we just hold on to that, focus on that. Guess what happens? We don't redeem the time forward for God. It's a trick. Focus here that's already happened so that you can't move forward the way God wants you to. In Isaiah 43, 18 through 19, it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. But behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Excuse me. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So God's commanding through the prophet Isaiah to the people. He's saying, do not remember the former things. Don't hold on to them. Don't clutch on to them, nor consider the things of old. Don't allow them to entrap you or ensnare you. And then he says, look at this, or behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You shall not know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. There's two things in that I think is really cool to me and exciting. God's going to make something new spring forth in our life as we redeem our time for Him. There are some things that God does with us. He transforms us that we really are not initiating. It's simply a process that God transforms us through. But there are other things that God calls us to follow Him in that require us to make those decisions of sacrifice, commitment, and so forth in order to see the new things that He wants to do. Anytime we follow God, God will put something in front of us that will stretch us. And we have to make the decision whether we're going to follow what God is leading us to do, even though that stretching scares us. But when we do, God reveals something new in your life that will empower you and bless you to be that much more in Christ in your relationship with Him. And that's the new thing. I love discovering the new things that God has for me in my life. And I believe that you love the new things because the new things are the blessings of God's handiwork, directing us and changing us for His glory. In fact, that passage there says you may not see something new, right? That passage says instead, he says, where you see the wilderness, I will make a road cut through it. That's cool. New paths, new adventure. And he goes on and he says, and where the desert is, I'll make a river. A river, water, life. And a path to that. And in that. And so we can praise God for that. So one of the thrilling things about the adventure of following Christ are the new things He will do in our lives. We miss the mark sometimes because we're not walking that circumspectful walk with Christ. We miss the walk sometimes because we're not attuning ourselves to the daily walk with Jesus in a way that says, at the end of the day, I know I was in your will today. But when we do those things, we discover the new things that God has for us. That's the initiative. That's what you and I, God puts it on our heart, but we have to respond in action, okay? And that action is what brings forth the cognizant reality of what God is doing that presents new things to you. And so one, like I said, one of the thrilling things about the adventure of following Christ are the new things he would do in our lives. Have you experienced God do new things in your life that you never thought would be possible? That's the type of new things that God wants to do. Things that you never expected. Things that are out of the norm. Things that grow us and make us that much more for his glory. In Philippians 3, 12 through 14, it says, not that I have already attained. That's Paul. Paul saying, look, you know, as I press forward, as I follow Christ, as I seek him out, as I yield to him daily, I have not yet attained all that God has in store for me, for his glory. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected or made mature, God, that process continues, but I press on. We have to, in this new year, be in a determined thinking, a focus that says, I'm going to continue or press on in my walk with Jesus. That might be a given for us, right? But maybe if we take that thought and make it more specific, that maybe our focus will be that much more fine-tuned. To make that commitment to press on in Christ, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Does that excite you, that passage right there? I love what he says there. Press on for what reason? That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. If we don't press on in Christ, walking with him closely, committing our lives to him as God intends for us to do, then we will never lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of us for. We will never discover what God intends to do for us and through us in our lives for his glory. And when I was a new Christian, first time I heard that verse, I still get excited about that verse because it's God revealing things that he wants to do that I have no clue about. That's awesome and brings him glory. But the first time I heard it, I was like a young kid that wanted to run. You ever see that brand new Christians are just like this? They're busy. They take in as much as they can. They're running and running and running sort of spiritually. And they want to just press on as fast as they can. Well, I was like that, but God kind of picked up the back of the collar of my shirt and lifted me up off the ground a little bit and let me spin and mostly follow me. Don't get ahead of me. Follow me and pursue me. Press on to Christ. And when we do, we're discovering what he's laid his hand on us for. And to me, that is just one of the most thrilling things that we can have. Interestingly, there is an element of our lives that is concealed from us. Aren't you glad? God doesn't lay out the plan for your life all ahead of time. I've told you before, if God told me in high school I was going to be a pastor, I would have run. Not because I was in an attitude of rebellion, but because I had no confidence that God could even do that in my life. Again, I didn't speak clearly, dyslexia, self-confidence, all those things were challenged. And you want me to stand in front of people and lead them as a pastor? God had to take the time to process me, transform me, prepare me, teach me, help me to have that relationship with him that I needed to be able to hear him say, now I want you to go into ministry. God might be saying to you, now I've prepared you for fill in the blank. And you know what? If we follow him and we realize he's prepared us, we're that much more apt to say, I hear you, I understand what you're saying, and I'm willing because I know that through you it's possible. He's prepared us for that. But that element is concealed from us. If we press on, then we're going to find what Christ has laid hold of us for. That's what's concealed. There's an element of our lives that's concealed from us, and the only way we can discover what God has planned for us can only be accomplished by what? Devoting our lives to him. Maybe our lives are already devoted to God, but our focus for this year and every year ahead and every day we live is to pursue being more devoted to God. Can we be more devoted to God? Because we see where we fail God. We see our weaknesses. So we can say, God, I want to be that much more devoted to you. I want to love you that much more. I want to be that much more committed to you. That's a decision of action. Only by being devoted to God can we find what God has concealed us to find. Your life is hidden in Christ, right? Isn't that what that's told us in Colossians 3:3? This is what is meant when the Apostle Paul says that we are to pursue the mark or the goal that God has called us to discover. Here's the mark. That's what I want to do. The goal is to get you there so you're prepared to do it. Not in yourself, but in Him. And the wonder and the thrilling and the adventure is discovering it. I know in my own personal life, and maybe in yours also, when God has spoken to me, revealed things to me, I go, you want me to do that? Right? You want me? I was fine for 16 years as an associate pastor. All the heat was on the senior pastor. I just had the fun of teaching the Bible and assisting where I can, but the heat fell on him. And then one day God said, I want you to be one of the hymns as a senior pastor. And I said, I can remember. I said, God, I said, you want me? You know my weaknesses. You know how I failed you. And he's very plain to me. He said, Terry, if you were confident in yourself, I would not want you to be in that position. I want you to rely on me. But he prepared me to trust him, to rely on him. And that's how God works in our lives. So discovering the prize that God wants to give us is part of the adventure of devoting our lives to him. You want to discover the prize? It's an adventure. Now, with my warped thinking, as many of you know, my mind flashes back to when I was a kid. And there was this soap that my mother used to give me as a little boy that had fuzz all on it. The idea was scrub to get the fuzz off. So lather up good, bathe really well. But if you continue to do that, there's a prize in the middle of the soap that you can have. Now, if that was my son, he'd probably break the bar open and simply get the toy out. Not me. But the idea is that we take the effort to go the distance that enables us to discover the prize. And the prize is not something that we know what it is like we would in a game show. You can win $100,000 if you do this. The prize is that which we have no idea about that will blow us away, that God wants to do great in your life and my life. But we have to walk circumspectly. We have to be devoted that much more and more and more every day. So discovering the prize that God wants to give us is part of the adventure of devoting our lives to him. What can we do to redeem the time God gives us and discover what is new that God has for our lives? Read it again. What can we do to redeem the time God gives us, to retrieve that which, so it's not lost, and discover what is new, the prize that God has for our lives? First, make the decision to be focused on God. Is it easy to get out of focus on God? Yeah, it's a battle, isn't it? We need to make a decision that I'm going to be devoted enough to God that I'm going to make my effort in Christ to be focused on you. In Romans 13, 11 and 12, it says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So, it's high time that we awake. Only you and I know when we are, what's the term? I might not be able to retrieve the term. Slacking? What do you call the person that slacks at work? You know? They're the ones that aren't carrying the load. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're looking for the way out instead of the way in to that which they're supposed to do. Well, that's kind of the same idea here. That when we are slacking in our relationship and our focus with God, God equates that to us as being asleep. We become dull to him and the sensitivity of his spirit working in our lives. So he says, wake up. Wake up out of the sleep. And then he says, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And salvation doesn't mean that we're not saved now. It means the completion of God's work in our life is that much clearer, that much nearer to us. Maybe that we live each day, and each day we live is one day less that we have to live. And so we're one day closer to being completed in Christ. Or it may be that we are that much closer to the work that God is doing to complete us in him. But he says the night is far spent, like those people have said, I've wasted time. I've wasted valuable time that God has given me. And you know, and I know, as we go through life, life, it goes by fast. If you were to, in senior ministries, and working with seniors, they're like, some of them are just like, not because their minds have deteriorated, they're still vibrant. They're still like kids in their own mind. They still think they can do things that they can't do physically because time has just elapsed so quickly. And so we need to take and understand the value of that time. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Things that we know that are inhibiting us from walking with Christ, get rid of it. And let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light is walking in the presence of Jesus every day. That's part of the devoted heart. That's the one who desires that. And granted, we don't do that all the time. We don't do it every day necessarily. But when we're walking with God, we know when we're not. We don't become dull to it. We know that conviction, so we need to make it right with God. And so the second thing, the first thing was to make the decision to be focused on God. The second thing is devote yourself to, make the decision to be focused on God. The second is to devote yourself to God. Focus on God. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be sensitive to you. Now I'm going to devote myself to you. Whatever you have is devoted to you. Whatever I am that you want is devoted to you, which is all of us, which is everything we are. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer. If I was to ask most Christians how much prayer time they spend with God, most of the time it's very little. And it's because Satan knows that if we're not in prayer with God, then we're not in close communion with Him. If we're not in close communion with Him, we're not as sensitive to Him. If we're not as sensitive to Him, we can't walk as specifically or circumspectly as God intends for us in order for us to find those things that God has laid hold of us for. And so continue and persevere. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Vigilant, fighting, strong, watchful. So continue and persevere, or devote is the word I want to look at. The word devote here means to busy yourself. It's a decisive decision that says, I will be busy about the things of God in my daily walk with Him. I will be busy in serving Him, or I'll be busy in representing Him, or I'll be busy in praying and spending time with Him, or I'll be busy in His Word, or I'll be busy seeking to be a witness to others that are around me, or be busy to be available to God. We are called to be busy in our relationship with God. That's what it means to devote ourselves. So we saw in our video, the young lady stated that the busier our brains are, the slower time will go for us. We will be focused on the task at hand. We need to redeem the time or slow it down for God's use instead of speeding it up and wasting it. You ever feel like, well, we've all heard it, haven't we? We just don't have time for God. I don't have time to do this or that for God. And yet God might be saying, I laid hold of you for this, and I'm talking to you about that, and you're telling me you don't have time. And the reason is because that devotion level isn't where it ought to be. We've not made a decision to be busy for God. So we need to be busy. We need to busy our brains with time, talking to God through prayer, and with a thankful heart. With a thankful heart. I heard it this morning from Sunday school class that looking back and seeing what God has done, that person was very thankful for. And that thankfulness helped that person to embrace the future that's not secured. Every year is a different challenge. So we need to know that God hears us and talks back. Not talks back with. Well, I don't want to use the term smack disrespectfully, you know. But I'm saying He hears us and He talks back. Have you experienced in your Christian walk recognizing when God speaks to you? how many Christians have come to you and said, how do you know when God talks to you? It's that focus. It's that sensitivity. It's that desire of that devotion to be in God's will that says, I'm going to listen until it's made clear. Sometimes the answer, we expect the answer to go, okay, I've asked you, now tell me. Other times, the answer is a process. And you look back and you go, oh, there's the answer. I didn't quite catch that, but now I know that. So we need to know that God hears us and talks back, but we must be attentive to listening to his answers. That is what it means here by vigilant or to watch. We must be awake to be focused on God. Wake up out of sleep. We must be awake. There are some days I want to stay asleep spiritually. Even though ostriches don't put their head in the sand, I still like the idea sometimes. But God says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to be attentive to me all the time. We must watch for God's answers to prayers. So what a privilege it is not just to talk to God, but to hear from God. Isn't that not a privilege? We can approach him anytime we want, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, creator of heaven and earth, the highest and most powerful, none is parallel to, who holds everything in his hands, and without holding all that was made in his hands, all would be dispersed. And we can approach him anytime, and then the privilege of knowing that in his greatness, in his mightiness, that he responds to us as that loving Father that cares for us, that hears us, and that answers us. Sometimes very clearly, sometimes very strongly, sometimes in discipline, sometimes in encouragement, just like our normal fathers would do, but far, far more better. So God does not simply ask us to pray as if it was a good suggestion. We need to remember that. But God commands us. That's an imperative term. Imperative meaning it is a command. It's not a request. It's not a good idea. It is a command. But God commands us an imperative to pray. So what happens if we don't pray? We're not being obedient to his command. And why is he commanding us to pray? Because he wants that deeper relationship with us. He wants us indeed to have a deeper relationship with him. And it is every Christian's duty. Every Christian's duty. Because he commanded it. And the blessings that come from it are great. You ever see somebody that radiates the presence of Christ? You see it in their eyes and their countenance. And you can just say, I know not only that you're a Christian, but you're walking with him. It comes through that prayer time. It comes through that intimate time. It comes through that devoted time. It comes through that daily walk. All these things radiate Christ in our lives, and it's not so that we can be patted on the back. It's so that God can be glorified and others can see him in us. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Rejoicing in hope sometimes is easy, sometimes it's not. And what I mean by that is, I hope God will take care of this. Now I'm going to learn to rejoice. You know, I have a dilemma, I have a problem, I'm going to hope in him, but I'm to rejoice. We can rejoice because our hope is in him, right? We're called to be patient in tribulation, following Christ, walking with him sensitively through each day. Sometimes it's through the storm with a clear realization that he's with me, that he's guiding me, and that he's got me in his hands, and he's protecting me, and I can go through this time of tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That's another imperative command. Now, when I was growing up, I worked with my dad in Coconut Grove, Florida. Coconut Grove, Florida was the Greenwich Village of Florida. And so there were a lot of weird things that happened there. And some of them were some of those that followed the Hare Krishna belief. And I would be cleaning windshields at the gas station for $1 a windshield, pretty good for 13 years old at that time, because it was a long time ago. But I would see these guys walking by, and they would have their hands like this in prayer mode, and they would have their attire as it was, and they would simply continue walking in prayer. God is not asking us to stay in that stance in prayer. He's saying, I want you to talk to me all the time. I don't want you to break that time of not communicating with me. Recently, we've gotten so busy that I have not had the prayer time that I plan to have or intend to have or desire to have. And I told God the other day, I said, God, I'm sorry. I said, because I missed that time with you. And I'm sorry that I've not made the time. It seemed like it was too busy. And he understood. He was gracious and merciful. But my desire is to spend that much more time. So I asked him to adjust my day and to show me. Lord, show me the time that you provide for me to spend time with you in prayer. And he did. And so I praise God for that. I praise God definitely with that. So why does God command us to pray and not repetitiously, but with an open heart before God? Because God wants our relationship with him to be as close as possible. Do you get in a defensive stance whenever you're commanded to do something by God? That's our natural flesh, is it not? It's us saying, this is my territory and you're not going to command me. But God's not commanding to rob us. God's commanding to fill us with a greater, deeper, richer relationship with him. And that's a blessing. So it's only then that we will know him and his will for our lives when we're devoted to him, right? By doing so, we will not lose the time God has given each of us. We'll spend the proper time in prayer with him. But we will esteem the time he's given us with a joyful heart. We will redeem the time he's given us with a joyful heart. And so this year, redeem the time God has given you by being devoted to him. I don't like the thought of losing time. And if I was honest with myself, and I try to be, that I've lost a lot of time in my walk with Christ because I've not redeemed it for him. And so evaluate that, look to him, and continue to be devoted to him, but let us each continue to be devoted in a deeper, more concise manner for his glory. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for the year ahead. You've given us another year. You've allowed each one of us to see 2017. It sounds weird for those of us that are a bit older to hear the year of 2017. And yet, Father, it's here. It's a gift. And today is a gift. And every day we have is a gift. And more precisely, Father, it's a gift of time. So in all the time that you have for this year ahead for us, let us live every second of it for you. And even though that is something that we know that is not always the case, let it always be our desire that we continually put ourselves in check with you. Bless us, Father. May we have a year that you allow us to actually see those hidden things that you want to reveal to us that will glorify you in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com. And tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.